Welcome to Business Lives by Vox Markets, the podcast that brings you closer to the people who shape the world of business. We give you an insight into the lives of the individuals who stand out from the crowd. For updates on the latest episodes, please subscribe to our channel.
On the podcast today, we have young entrepreneur Rachel Flanagan. She set up her cleaning company, Miss Bouquet, aged 18 with only £20 in her back pocket. She went out and spent that £20 on promotional flyers as her only marketing tool, and her company now employs over 300 people and is striving towards a £5 million turnover. Rachel Flanagan, welcome to the Business Lives podcast today. It's great to have you here in the studio.
Thank you.
So you started a cleaning company at 17, 18 years old?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
I started Mrs. Bouquet Cleaning Services. We pronounce it as bouquet, we spell it as bucket, for a little sort of, you know, make us stand out a little bit more. I started the company when I was 18 and I was in college at the time, sitting my A-levels, and I suppose every 18-year-old is facing, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? What am I going to work doing? Where am I going to live? And it's so many different challenges that you're facing. And I was in Gosignan College doing business, media, art and IT. And I was coming back from actually sort of revising for my A-levels. Came back home to my mum's, where I was living, obviously, at the time. And the cleaner had left about 3 hours earlier than what she should have.
And she was obviously getting paid for that time.
So she was getting paid for 5 hours. And, basically came home, the cleaner wasn't there, she'd gone, and this wasn't the first time. And I just sort of said to my mum, well, you know, can't I just do it for a bit of pocket money, a bit of beer money? And my mum just said, yeah, that's fine, you know, do it. I always liked earning money. You know, was never a lot of money, but I'd always work in, you know, the local pub doing dishes and things, and from such a young age. And that's where the idea came from at that moment. I was driving back out in my little KA at the time, thinking, do you know what? There must be so many families out there that need a cleaner, but they need someone to manage them and, you know, look after them and run it as a business. And I went back to college that day and basically sort of just threw myself into starting Mrs. Bouquet, which at the time I didn't know what the name was going to be.
And from that age, did you know it could be the size it is today, or was that
nothing? No, and I just think I had so much determination, so much drive, because also I failed my business A-levels. I actually had an unclassified. So what happened was I actually wrote all of my business ideas in the business exam for Mrs. Bouquet because I was so excited. That's all I could think about. So I failed my business A-levels. So when I picked up the A-level results, everyone just thought, you know, you're crazy to go and start a cleaning company when you've just failed your business A-levels. You know, have a year out. And everybody sort of really didn't believe in me, if I'm honest. They just thought I had this crazy idea of being a cleaner. When I could see much, you know, past that, I wanted to become a businesswoman, but I just didn't know how.
So when people say they had a spark moment, it really was a spark moment.
It was, yeah. And I wanted to be different. I wanted to not do what my friends were doing at the time, but I just didn't know where I belonged or where I kind of fitted into, you know, the business life. And I didn't even know about the business life either. So I basically just spent £20 on black and white little flyers. My mum's best friend said to me, Rachel, you have got to have a different name. You've got to stand out from it. And she really believed in me. And, you know, instead of having the typical R. Flanagan Cleaning Services or something, she said, you know, what about Mrs. Bouquet? And I thought, you know, hang on a minute, I'm 18, I've got Mrs. Bouquet on the side of my car, Mrs. Bucket. It's not really going to go down very well. But that was the best thing because, again, it was different. It made me stand out. And I just spent the £20 on black and white flyers and just flyered every single night. And
your friends, you know, weren't supportive, but your parents and family friends seemed to be supportive as well.
Yeah, I think at 18, you know, your friends are always supportive, but they don't really understand what you're going to do, because I suppose I didn't really have a
plan. So were you more mature than them at that age, do you think?
I don't think so. I just think I was driven to I wanted to go and do something different, but I didn't know what that was until I had that moment, and I just had complete belief then that I was going to do it.
So not going out on the gap years and not going to university, I'm assuming, as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that you missed out?
There were stages, definitely, where I thought at the time, you know, I was missing out on going to university, going travelling and things. But after a couple of years, I kind of, you know, thought to myself, I'm on a win-win year, because I was earning money and none of them were. So when I was going out with them around the universities and things, you know, we at the time, it was a lot of money sort of thing, you know, then when you're 18, 19. And yeah, it was fun because we did different things as well. But I suppose I do regret it in a way of, you know, it's an experience going to university. But then also, you know, a lot of my friends haven't used that degree, and now they've sort of gone into what they're really, truly passionate about. So now when I look back on, you know, my career so far, I'm absolutely passionate about business, and I've done it since I was 18. Or if not, when I was a lot younger, because when I was, you know, really young, when I was 6, 7, I'd have a shop in my dad's office, and I'd go and put a sign outside and have sweets and things, and he'd take me, you know, to the local warehouse to buy all the sort of stuff, and I had a real till. So I think it was in me from a young age, and it still is. I'm very passionate about small business.
So going and taking those black and white flyers down up and down the road, when did you start to realise that you actually needed more people, and what was the reaction to that?
Oh, it was quite a while, because, I mean, I really did not know I was going to hire somebody. I was just so focused on just getting customers and calls to come in. So, I mean, I flyered even when it probably took a couple of weeks for the phone to start ringing. You know, which is the most nervous time. Have I done the right thing? Or no, I'm going to fail. I can't be a failure. But then the phones just, you know, started calling. And then I really, really enjoyed cleaning, because I could see the impact it had on the families. And it was like people were excited to come home because the cleaner had been today. And I felt more than a cleaner because I was running my own business. And not that I had major aspirations at that time, but I knew I wanted to, later on, probably after the first year, I wanted to get more staff. And that's what I did then. I was working about 70 hours a week cleaning. I obviously, you know, I'm in a business where you sell time for money, basically. So I only had 70 hours. I was completely maxed out. I was doing my books on a Saturday. I was doing quotes in the night, flyering in the night still. And then I sort of stumbled across that I needed to go and get my first member of staff. I got a member of staff through a family friend. And then she started working side by side with me, so then I could train her up. And then I thought, right, this is the model actually I'm going to use. And that's what I did. After a couple of weeks, I then let her go out on her own, cleaning the houses. I stepped back, then I got someone else in. So I built it up that way.
So what was your USP, and what is it now throughout the business? Has it changed from essentially a flyer that says there's a cleaner here? How did you sell that to people, and why did people choose you as opposed to others?
I think if I'm honest, it was the basics. We were reliable. We turned up on time. We did what we said we were going to do. We did little extra touches as well. We left little Easter eggs on the children's pillows at Easter and things. All the little touches like that. And I think once I got to 21, that's when I was getting a little bit more switched on, thinking, right, okay, I really need to start setting this up as the business, and more not so much of a lifestyle business. And then I was very fortunate where a mentor believed in me so much. He entered me into the UK National Young Entrepreneur Awards in Claridge's, mm-hmm. And we won that award, and that changed everything then for me, because I had absolute belief then in myself that I suppose I belonged in the business world. And just because I was young, actually play on it, because, you know, there's not many young people in business. And when you go into a networking room, it's quite daunting. But then if you switch it over, it's quite exciting, because you're really like the odd one in the room. So play on it a little bit more. And that's when I think our USP started to become more about, you know, the young entrepreneur running the business. And then, you know, we started to go into commercial cleaning then.
And at 21, you had 18 staff. Did you need investment to grow it and grow it? Have you ever had investment in the company?
No, I've never had investment.
So you just purely investing the cash flow that's coming in?
Yeah.
And investing. So what were you investing it in when you were such a young company?
Yeah. So I'm a really visual person. So like back in the day, I had a tiny little office where, you know, sometimes I couldn't even put money into the meter to have the electric and stuff on. But I had this board, because I had this vision board, and I was part of this marketing club at the time, and I wanted to double the business. But I knew I didn't have the money to just go out and do it. And I suppose I didn't have the knowledge then of, oh, I could go and get investment, people can believe in me. I just wasn't around that network at the time. And I had this vision board where it had vans on there. It had office administrator on there. But against each item on this large vision board, I broke it down to how many actual cleaning hours I needed to get for me to basically afford that, if you know what I mean. So for a van, say it was 2,000 hours of cleaning, then I was so driven to go out there and get new more of those hours to build up to go and get that van. So once I got that van, I had another level and another level and another level. And I kind of every single week I would tick things off, and I'd have my own little sales targets.
And
you know?
Just had constant goals going through the company. So I've read that at 22, the business was worth £500,000.
Yeah, so we doubled. So that year, that was the year that we decided to take the business from £500,000 to £1 million in a year.
And how did that happen?
Well, it was a few areas that we focused on. So because I was a member of the marketing club, I really sort of start. I was very passionate about marketing. I loved learning how to be different, how to stand out from the crowd. You know, we're in such a crowded market now, but it was just the same really back then. But I knew I needed to get into commercial cleaning. I knew, you know, that's where the hours were. That's where the larger contracts were. But I didn't know how to get it. So one day, luckily enough, I was cleaning for a director's house, had this conversation with him, and he said, come and clean my office in Cardiff. And it kind of just went from there. So every evening then I'd go back out and I'd be cleaning the office, training other members of staff in Cardiff. And then we used all the quirky marketing that I had learnt to then go and target new commercial buildings that we wanted to get in with. So I'd have a plan every Friday. I would get in my car. I wouldn't have a cleaning day on the Friday. And I'd get in my car and I'd drive around all of Swansea, all of Cardiff. I'd have different sort of areas that I'd focus on. And I'd count the cars in the car park, because there was a pattern that if there was over 30 to 40 cars in the car park, then that warranted a commercial cleaning contract. And then I would drop in then, like we do things, we still do it now. We give them like a white glove in the post, or we drop it in cupcakes with our logos on, and, you know, telling them to take a break from their current cleaners. And it's just getting something to, you know, stop people, you know, who are so busy, stop them in their tracks to remember us. But we kept doing it. And I was very much on the road a lot of the times.
Obviously, it's such a crowded market space, and quirky marketing techniques can't appeal to everybody. So how did you convince the directors to pick you as a cleaner as opposed to others?
So I did a lot of research on my competition. You know, we still do it now, where we're very aware of what our competition is doing. And I just tried to go back to basics again, where reliability, saying what you're going to do and actually doing it, it's really basic things, but it doesn't always happen in business, and especially in the cleaning market. So we started to get a few commercial clients, and then what we would do then is we would get the testimonials. So when then we were going to speak to new commercial clients, a lot of the times they would have maybe known them and trusted that testimonial, more so from ourselves, because they don't know us yet. So we always tried to target people, commercial clients, where we were cleaning opposite, and then we'd have, you know, part of our sales strategy was to just go and target all of that street opposite as much as we could, to sit to tell them we're cleaning opposite over the road. And again, you know, a lot of the times we would get referrals. Referrals is obviously the best way for growing a business. And we would just, you know, turn up on time. If we weren't going to go in for a certain, you know, time for whatever reason, then we would give them a call. It's the basic customer service, customer experience. And that is what we do today. They have their own area manager as well, that if they, you know, have any issues, all of our area managers, we're not like national cleaning companies, they're all employed within the local area, so they can get to our clients within an hour easily if there is a real, real, real issue. So yeah, we can be hands-on as well for our customers, and building relationships is obviously key as well.
It's incredible to hear a story that's, you know, from an 18-year-old setting it up, getting at 21, having 18 members of staff, and now you've got 300 members of staff as well.
Yeah.
Turnover at £3 million. Where have you always thought that the company was going to be as big as it was, or as it is now, and where is it going to be in the future?
So I never thought, obviously, when I set up, but the last couple of years, you know, we're very focused to growing the company, but focused in growing it in the right way. Because I think, you know, we've been running now for 12 years. You make a lot of mistakes in 12 years. You take on the wrong clients. You work. Then you can't retain, you know, staff because, you know, cleaning at 4 a.m. or 10 o'clock in the night. So what we've actually done now, which I think is really, you know, we're much more focused and we're working smart, is we mainly clean in 4 to 5 sector groups, which is manufacturing, offices, legal and clinical. We do a lot of facilities management as well, which is communal cleaning, because what we were finding was a lot of our 7-day-a-week sites, we were having retention issues on Saturdays or Sundays. And then that was causing so much stress for area managers, you know, which were off on the weekends with their family. And then when we worked it out, it's the typical 80-20 rule. We weren't making as much money because obviously, you know, we were focusing so much time on those contracts on the weekend. So what we've done in the last 12 months is we've pulled out of some sectors, but it's a lot better for us. We're much more focused on higher margins. The right clients are coming to us. It's less is more, and we're much more structured in our approach to winning the right sort of customers. And because we've got a lot of those customers then, it's in a way easier for us to win them because we've just got so much more testimonials and referrals coming from these sectors.
And from those, your friends at 18 years old, what do they say now? The ones that did go traveling and went to university and said, you can't do it. What do you say back to them and what do they say?
Well, I'm pretty chilled about it, to be honest. I think I don't really need to say anything. I mean, they know I love what I do. They probably think I'm an absolute nutter still. You know, I still have all these big dreams, these ambitions, and I tend to be probably like the mentor of my friends group and always, you know, even a negative situation, you've got to look at the positives and there's always a way out. And I think... you know, my friends over time now have, you know, they've grown into that as well. And they also can see how important it is to be passionate about what you do, because there's so many people out there that's just living and existing where, you know, they're not doing what they really wanted to do. And I don't feel that. You know, I've always been passionate about business and I'll remain doing it, whatever it is. But, you know, at the moment, I'm very focused on growing the business. We've got a 2-year plan now, which is to get to 5 million. When we're very focused about being, you know, taking over the marketplace locally, because I think sometimes you can stretch yourself too thin by growing in different areas, where at the moment we've just got so much more business within Wales and Bristol, and that's, you know, what I'm going to be focusing on for the next couple of years.
And by the sounds of it, innovation and forward thinking has really been the key to success. You know, if you go back to, you're saying you're doing all these quirky marketing techniques, but they are just innovative ideas.
Yeah.
That has made you, your USB, separate from competition. So within the area you want to dominate that, will you grow globally, internationally? Where will it go? What are the big ideas?
Yeah, I don't think we'll grow internationally in the sense of, you know, we'll go all over the place. I think what I'm very focused on is growing up rather than out. So we are very, you know, focused in our areas. We want to make sure we are cleaning the offices opposite where we're currently cleaning. We're cleaning all the business park, not just one or two. And I think that's where our real focus is. That's where our growth is as well. It's still within Wales and Bristol. I think over time, you know, we would love to expand into different areas. I'm currently, you know, very focused at the moment on acquisitions as well, buying out local competition. That's something which is part of our growth plan as well. And yeah, who knows then after that, you know, Mrs. Bouquet hopefully could be all over the UK. But I think what happens in the cleaning market and what I can see from our large national competition is the margin gets watered down so much when you scale out. So what I'm trying to focus on is scaling up to retain that margin and actually have a less turnover business than, you know, the big guys, which are 30 million, but make the same profit at the end of the day, because that is key, isn't it? You know, cash and things. So that's my goal. I'm quite focused on that.
So as a 17-year-old sitting there, A-levels failing, to then being a businesswoman that's, you know, obviously leading a very forward-thinking company, do you have any advice for those that might be sitting there, A-levels coming up in a few months? Is education everything?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, looking back, I mean, this was 12 years ago for me. I think it's really important to, you know, focus on your education. But also, if you've got that, you know, that drive in you to go and start a business. I mean, I listened to a guy that came to our college and he did a talk about his own business, and that really inspired me. And I think that also helped me change my mind of not going to university. But I think if you've got it in you, then go and do it, because what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, you're going to fail, but you learn so much from failure. Or it doesn't work out for whatever reason, and you can go back to university. You know, when you're young, you can just do so much when you've got so much energy.
And surely every day is a school day for you at the moment, or has been in the last 12 years. You know, learning how to read balance sheets, learning how to know about your cash flow and what's going in, coming out. So you've learnt all of that on the job.
Yeah, I've learned it on the job, but more so I've learned it from people that are ahead of me. So I've always developed, my self-development. I've read books, I've gone to masterminds. So I've been members of masterminds all over the UK. I've surrounded myself with people who are just so much more ahead of me. But then the way I've looked at it is, well, I'll learn so much more because I feel like I'm like a sponge when you're passionate about something. And that's how I learn. When I was younger, I would just go and pick up the phone and go and ask someone who I knew was running a company, can I come and interview you? But what I wanted to do was I just wanted to learn from them so I didn't make those mistakes. And I think that's been really good, because now you've got a lot of contacts. And when you are having a down day, it's all about the support structure around you. And I think, you know, the more variety of people you have around you, then the more sort of, you know, real advice you can get as well.
It's great to hear the pure drive and passion that you've had since you were 17 years old. And that has made the company grow and to the success that it is now. So what does the future hold for the company, and where is it going to go?
I really don't know. I mean, I would love to just get involved in other businesses as well. I'm just so passionate about business, teams, marketing, sales. I think, you know, Mrs. Bouquet will be the platform for me. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. Yeah, who knows? But, you know, I'm excited. I've got 1.5-year-old. I'm in a good place where I've got the balance as well. And that's how I want to live my life as well, because I think, you know, we can just be so time poor and we're not living in the moment enough. And I know, you know, recently I've definitely learned that, because you can have all this drive, but then also, you know, you need to enjoy and have fun, and, you know, and that's what I'm doing.
So one question we always ask our guests: if you had £10,000 and you're 25 years old, what would you be doing?
I mean, personally, for me, I would be saying to them, put it into what they're passionate about. So if they're passionate in soft furnishings and they want to, you know, be the best soft furnishing expert in the area, then put that 10 grand into their business, because, you know, you're investing in yourself when you're doing that. A lot of people will spend money when they'll go to university or, again, you know, doing qualifications, which is really important as well. But I think, you know, if you know you want to set up a business and you have got 10 grand or you can get 10 grand, then obviously with a plan, a business plan and things and a right mentor, then put it into your future.
And are you investing at all at the moment? Maybe not in the stock market, but are you investing in other companies?
I'm not investing at the moment, but that is something which, you know, long term, short term, I really want to do. I want to get more involved in small business owners, the right sort of teams as well, and where I know I can really help that business to grow. So yeah, I'm sort of on the lookout at the moment now if there's any, you know, innovative ideas out there. That's something I'm on the lookout for.
Do you do any charity work as well at the moment?
I don't necessarily do any charity work, but I'm really, really passionate about giving back, helping our next generation in business, and even, you know, people around my age as well. What I'm doing at the moment is next month, June the 21st, we're launching the Supper Club, which is going to be in Swansea, and that's for any innovative entrepreneurs that want to just be part of a community. So you may have, you know, gone to some networking events before and thought, right, I really just don't fit here, I don't belong here. This is for entrepreneurs to come together, like-minded, and learn from listening to inspirational speakers in, you know, quite a cool environment and very different to the norm of networking as well. So that's my giving back. Yeah.
And the information for that can be found, I'm assuming, on your website and social media as well.
Yeah, so it's on social media at the moment. Yeah, the Supper Club.
Perfect. Well, Rachel, thank you very much for coming on the podcast today. It's been great to hear from you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.